Some pretty good words in that last song, huh? The wrath of God being fully satisfied. It's called the propitiation, where God's wrath was satisfied for us. Today we're going to continue our study on the biblical parenting series, and we're going to talk about the biblical methods of parenting, part two. Last week was part one, where Jake spoke about the communication, and today we're going to speak about the rod. The theme verse of our biblical parenting series is Psalm 127:3, which says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him." Today's message is message number 5 of 10. There is quite a bit that we're covering in this. This is the most in-depth study that I've ever done on parenting, which has been a lot of fun, challenging, convicting. Ooh, I did that wrong. That sort of thing. That's where I'm at. But today, this one is the last foundational message for what's coming ahead. So if you've missed any of the messages in the past, the foundational ones, you could go to the website, you could listen to those and catch up, and that would be a really good thing to do. So let's just briefly recap where we've gone. Our first four messages up till today, the first one we started off was talking about the heart of behavior. That God's desire for us as parents is to parent towards the heart of the child. For a change in their heart, not a change in their behavior. Now, when you change the heart, the behavior will change, come along behind there. But the importance, because God deals with us based on our heart level. And God's desire for us as parents is to deal with our children at the heart level. Then Jake spoke on shaping influences, the things that in our past, in our family, has shaped us to what and who we are today and how we look at things. And then how the importance of having a Godward orientation in how we look at God and how we train our children to look towards God. And Darren spoke about that you're in charge. You as a parent are in charge. It's not the kids that are running the home, it's the parents. Matter of fact, we are God's agents. We are functioning on His behalf. And if we ignore our children's disobedience, we are being disobedient ourselves because God has put us in charge of parenting our kids. Then last week, Jake spoke on biblical methods of parenting, part one, which was talking about communication. The importance of communicating and knowing your kids and spending time with them in communicating. And today we're going to speak about the rod. When I saw that it was my turn to speak and we're speaking about the rod, the first question that came to my mind was, why me? Why should I be the one to speak on the rod? Then I did think, we do have 3 boys. So I probably have more experience in having used the rod than most. And I know that I have made many parenting mistakes, which I guess maybe qualifies me to speak on the rod. I was actually just reminded last week of a parenting mistake that I made. This happened over 25 years ago. And this boy of ours has not forgotten it yet. He reminded me that, and I'll leave him unnamed so that you guys won't have any ideas of who it might be, but he's at the sound booth this morning. But when he was 7 or 8 years old, it was actually in the spring of 1996, he had done something wrong, and I sent him to sit on our bed. That is our procedure in our home. Go sit on my bed. And so he went. We were at the mission house at Clarksville Bible Church in Clarksville, Michigan. He went up the stairs and went and sat on the bed. And time passed. We had company that evening. And we were visiting, and I totally forgot about Joshua. And poor Joshua was in angst, knowing that, because he knows how our procedure is. We send him up there, that way mom and dad can cool down from frustration or anger, that when we go and deal with the issue, we're doing it in love and not in frustration. So he's thinking to himself, wow, I must have done something really bad for dad to be mad this long. Well, long story short, I don't remember how I was reminded that Joshua was waiting for me upstairs, but when I went up there, I did have much pity for him. he was spared the rod that day because he had suffered enough mental anguish as it was. But yes, many mistakes have been made over the years. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 23, and we're going to use the same passage plus one verse than Jake used last week, because it talks about exactly what we're wanting to discuss this morning. Proverbs 23, I want to begin in verse 12 and read through verse 19. Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 12. Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we are so grateful for your word. We thank you for the tremendous instructions that you have for us in there. As we study them out, we learn more and more how you want us to interact with each other, and specifically with our children. Lord, we thank you for the instructions that you give to us, that we're not left on our own, but Lord, you have given us direction. And I pray this morning our hearts will be open and receptive, and we will learn and be reminded of the heart of love that you have for us and the heart of love you want us to have for our children. We commit this time to you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The reason that last week was part one and this week is part two is because they go together. It's very important that we think of communication and we think of rod as they go together. They don't stand on their own. You see, communication without the rod is ineffective. It's likened to speeding, knowing that you're only going to get a verbal warning. Think about it. If you knew that you could go any speed you want on the highway, and if you did get stopped, the only thing they're going to say to you is, don't do that again, or slow down, or something like that. But if they were to give you something that's going to cost you, there's going to be some pain involved, it's completely different. So communication without the rod is effective, but the rod without communication is abuse. But communication with the use of the rod is God's way of discipline. And when we do it God's way, we can expect God's results. Now I want to lay some groundwork before we actually get into the outline of the message, but I want to lay some groundwork in regards to discipline. And I don't think it's been mentioned, but I think it needs to be mentioned, is that both parents must be in agreement. They must be in agreement on two things, I think. Number one is they need to be in agreement on what to discipline for. Jackie and I realized early on that we needed to be on the same page. It was of utmost importance that we would be on the same page, because kids, without taking an online course, will find a difference between mom and dad, and they will use that to their advantage. Many of our dates, I think back to the days when we were first parents, and many dates when we did get a date or a time alone, Jackie and I, our discussions were always about parenting. We were always putting ourselves on the same page. What do we do about this? How about that? What should we do about this? That way we would always discipline together. We discipline for three things, generally speaking, and they were disobedience, disrespect, and deceit. And if those fall, if they fell into that category, we knew we were on the same page about that. So you need to know what you're going to discipline for, but you also need to know how you're going to discipline. It's very interesting that Jackie's upbringing and my upbringing were vastly different. And so it was important for us when we came together as a couple that we discipline the same way. And I've already given you a hint on how that kind of worked out. Because when the boys did something wrong, we would send them to go sit on our bed. Because that was a time for them, they could actually think a little bit about what had happened, but it also gave time for mom or dad to lower the frustration level or lower the anger if that was of what was going on, so that when we went and visited with them, we would do it in the right manner, God's way. So there's a cool down period. But then when we go and we would talk with them, we would communicate. We'd talk about what they had done, why it was wrong, what God thought about it, what God has said about that. And then we would spank them. But after the spanking, we would actually talk with them some more. We would hug them. We would tell them of our love for them. And we would talk to them of their need of being sorry and about forgiveness and that God had forgiven them and we would forgive them as well. So that was some of the groundwork, I would say, as we go forward into the outline for today's message. The first thing I want to talk about this morning is the rationale behind the rod. What is the rationale? Why did God tell us to use the rod? First, I want to talk about the nature of the problem. You see, a child's need is not a lack of information. His problem is his heart. Just got pictures yesterday of our youngest grandson. He's 3 months old yesterday. Cutest little kid. We saw him a week ago, Joshua and I, when we stopped out in Texas. Cute little kid. But you know what? He has the same problem everyone in this room has. He has a sinful heart. Children are sinners just like their parents. So the nature of the problem is that the child has a sinful heart. But the function of the rod, look at these, listen to these verses. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15, it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So next part is, what is the rod? It sounds pretty drastic, but what is the rod? When Scripture speaks of the rod, what is it? First of all, it's a parental exercise. All Scripture passages that use the term the rod are in the context of a parent and child relationship. The Scripture often talks about discipline your son. Now, when I'm talking about he or she, I'm talking about this applies to both boys and girls, kids, and both mom and dad, okay? So if I'm using a he, it applies to the mother or the child as well, all the way through this. But when he says discipline your son, that's talking about discipline your son or your daughter. Nowhere in Scripture is permission given to all adults to practice or engage in corporal punishment for all children. A spanking is very different when given by a non-parent. So it's a parental exercise. The rod is also an act of faith. God has instructed its use. We've read it this morning. The wording is very clear. As a parent obeys not because they know exactly or understand how it works, but that God has commanded it. You see, when we use the rod, it shows a complete confidence in God's wisdom. And when we use the rod, it shows a deep confidence that God knows best. So it's an act of faith. But it's also an act of faithfulness. The rod is an act of faithfulness towards the child. You see, without discipline, there isn't hope. I heard of a mother many years ago who hoped her kids would be good kids. She had no clue that she could train them. But there is no hope without discipline. With discipline, there is hope. And so there's an act of faithfulness towards the kids. It's also an expression of love and commitment towards the child. It's also a responsibility. The rod is a responsibility. You see, it's not the parent determining to punish. It's the parent determining to obey God's word. I don't know how many times I told the kids, if we must do this as your parents, God has commanded us to do this. We, out of obedience to God, are disciplining you. You see, it is the parent, as God's representative that we talked about, that Darren talked about a couple weeks ago, undertaking on God's behalf what God has called him to do. It's the responsibility. But it's also a physical punishment. When we speak of the rod, it is a physical punishment. Now listen carefully. This is of utmost importance. The rod is the careful, timely, measured, and controlled use of physical punishment. It's not just hitting the kid. It's not abusive at all when done God's way. It is the careful, timely, measured, and controlled use of physical punishment. The rod is never venting of parental anger. It is never what a parent does when he or she is frustrated, because it is the careful, timely, measured, and controlled use of physical punishment. And for us, that happened to be a paddle. We felt that we could actually use it effectively and we could control it the best for the what we were trying to accomplish. But the rod is not only a physical punishment, it is a risk rescue mission. The child who needs a spanking has become distanced from his family, his parents, through disobedience. And so the spanking is designed to rescue the child from continuing his foolishness. If he were to continue in his foolishness, Scripture teases us there's three things that will come of him. One is death, poverty, and then shame. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 23 says, he will die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he will go astray. Proverbs 13, 18, poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. When it comes to talking about the rod, there is no doubt about it. There are many distortions to the rod. And I want to go over a few of them this morning of distortions, how people can abuse the rod. The rod is not the right to unbridled temper. God never gives parents the right to throw temper fits at their children. James chapter 1, verse 20 says, man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. It does not give the parent the right to unbridled anger. And there's not the right to hit our children whenever we wish. The rod is used in context of correction and discipline. If it is not used in that context, we as parents, fathers, are going against Scripture, because Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And hitting your children, not in the context of discipline and love, will provoke them to anger. It's also not a venting of frustration. The rod is not a way for a parent to vent their hurt, their pent-up rage, or their frustration on their children. There's a difference between punishment and discipline. Punishment is getting back at the child for what they did to you. It's getting even. It's kind of like revenge. But discipline, on the other hand, is the corrective action. It's done out of love for the child. And you can boil it down, that punishment is for you to get even, where discipline is for the child. It's not for venting of frustration. It's also not a retribution. It's not a payment due. It's not a child paying for his sins. We got to remember that when we talk about the rod, as Scripture speaks, that there's many ways to distort it and abuse it, and those are the ones, those are the things that we just mentioned here that God does not want involved in that. There are many common objections to the use of the rod today. I want to go over a few of those. One is, I love my children too much to spank them. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says this, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Another objection is, I'm afraid I will hurt him. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, which we read this morning. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod and save his soul from death. Biblically balanced discipline never, never physically endangers a child. Another objection, I'm afraid it will make him rebellious and angry. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17. Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. I love that verse. Because there's so much peace that you can have in a home. Some homes are total chaos because there's no discipline for children. But discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Another objection is, I'm afraid of teaching them to hit. The danger of children seeing hitting as an appropriate response to frustration will only happen if the parents are spanking in anger. Another objection is, it doesn't work. God tells us in His Word that it does work. So if it's not working, we are doing something incorrectly. If we're spanking in anger, if we're inconsistent in the use of the rod, if we're failing to persist, if we're failing to be effective, and when we say effective, we found out over time that when the spanking wasn't being effective, it was because the child wasn't feeling it enough. So can the child feel the spanking? Another valid objection today is, I'm afraid of being arrested for child abuse. Today we live in a world where there is a measure of validity to that concern. You know, it's not illegal to spank your child. What is illegal is child abuse. But a properly administered spanking is not abusive. We as parents must be wise. Spanking should be done in the privacy of your home. It shouldn't be a public matter. Matter of fact, if you make it a public matter, then shaming often is involved in it. And we do not want that. Spanking should be a three-way event. God, the parent, and the child. In amongst the concerns, in amongst the ways to do it wrong, I think the thing that I love most about the rod in Scripture's teaching of the rod is the fruit of the rod. Because Scripture teaches that we should use the rod, it also tells us that there are outcomes for the use, the proper use of the rod. First one let's look at this morning is, the rod teaches outcomes to behavior. It teaches the child that they reap what they sow. You see, when disobedience is met with uncomfortable consequences, they learn that God has built in the principle of sowing and reaping right into their little world. And man, I tell you today, we are living in a world where a lot of people do not have that concept. They do not understand the concept of what they reap and what they sow. And God desires for us to teach our children at a very young age about reaping and sowing. Another fruit of the rod is that the rod shows God's authority over mom and dad. The parent uses the rod as a matter of obedience. They are being an example of submission to authority. So when a parent goes and they discipline their child with the rod, and they explain to the kid the reason they're doing it is because they are submitting to what God asked them as a parent to do, they are seeing that there is submission to authority early on. And one of the reasons that children have difficulty with authority is because they don't see it modeled in our culture. And God wants it modeled in our home. That there is submission to authority. The rod also trains a child to be under authority. So the child, when they're young, still young, they learn that God has placed everyone under authority. Not only are they under mom and dad's authority, but mom and dad are under God's authority. The authority and these authority structures are a blessing. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, that God has put in place authority structures that are beneficial to all of us. Another fruit is the rod demonstrates parental love and commitment. Hebrews chapter 12 makes it clear that the rod is an expression of love. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. First verse 5. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you." So, discipline is a sign of sonship, that we are mom and dad's kid. What a privilege it is that we can show parental love and we can show commitment to our children. But also, the rod also yields a harvest of peace and righteousness. Same chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Another fruit of the rod is the rod bears wonderful fruit. I can't count the number of times I've seen bickering, selfish kids completely change to total sweetness once the rod has been applied lovingly to them. It happens over and over. It happened with our boys. It happens with our grandchildren. We see it regularly. The bottom line is, children need the security of discipline. In my mind, I picture that these children need a fence of security, that they know where the lines are drawn for living life. If they are to cross over that fence or over that line, they will be disciplined for that. And so the kids, they can live life in this secure, fenced area and enjoy life. But if they cross over, mom and dad will gradually bring them back by administering discipline to them. It's interesting, though, as I pictured this, you know, some of these children will test those fences regularly. Some will do it daily. We had one of our three boys would actually do that. "How about today? If I disrespect mom today, what will you do about it now, dad?" wang, wang, wang. And he gets back in line tomorrow. How about today if I step over the line? Another one of our boys says, you tell me where the line is, I'm staying far from it because I see what happens to my brother. They're all different. But you know what? Those fences of security are such a huge thing to a child. And often the fences will be tested if something has changed in our lives. If we move, and we move many times as missionaries, the kids would then say, how about in this situation where we're living now, where's the fence at? Where's my security at? And they would test those fences again. Anytime we're in a different life situation, how about now? Can I disrespect mom now? Or can I lie now? And the answer is, no. Let's go sit on the bed. Another benefit of fruit of the rod is the rod returns the child to a place of blessing. If you leave a child to himself, he would continue to live a lust-filled life. And the word lust there refers to things that will satisfy self. I will do things for myself. He would continue to seek comfort in being a slave to his desires and to his fears. But the rod of correction returns him to the place of submission to his parents. And it's there that God has promised blessing in his word. And also the rod promotes an atmosphere of closeness and openness between the parent and the child. The parent who is engaging his child and actively disciplining him when he needs it, will experience intimacy with his child. When a child is allowed to be disobedient, a distance develops between that child and his parents. But one thing we must remember when we're talking about the rod must be combined with communication. If you focus only on the rod, or if you only focus on communication, it will be like a ship that all of its cargo is on one side, and the old ship is like this, and you won't sail very well. And God desires for a balance between the two, of communication and the rod. They are not standalone methods. They're designed to work together. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, we've covered this already, but have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Your children need to be known, and they need to be understood. And therefore, we need a rich communication between parent and child. They also need limits that are clear and correction that is predictable. And therefore, the rod is necessary. You see, the use of the rod preserves biblically rooted parental authority. And the use of the rod, along with communication, it prohibits cold and overbearing discipline. And obviously, the weight of either of these two things depends upon the age of the child. And as we go into infants and children and teens, and as we look at the next 5 weeks, we will be talking more in depth about the amount of which is applied as the kids grow up. You know what? Some parents are more comfortable with communication, and others tend more easily toward the rod. You know what? It's good to be sensitive to the non-biblical distortions of each of those. You see, the person who is comfortable with the rod can fall easily into the distortion of being authoritarian. A parent who finds communication natural and easy may tend towards permissiveness. And authoritarian parents tend to lack kindness. And I stand before you this morning as guilty in this area. If there's one thing I regret in my parenting, it's in this area. The communication wasn't there as much as the rod was there. And I thank God for Jackie, because she was great in the communication area. And permissive parents, they tend to lack firmness. So the question is, which of these two distortions do you tend towards? I pray that each of us would strive to have a greater balance, that we would balance the communication and the rod as God so desires. Why is the rod of correction not used so much anymore? It's not that the passages that we looked at today are unclear, they're not obscure, they're not difficult to understand, they're not hard to interpret. The problem is that the rod is actually out of style today. It's not fashionable. We're influenced by non-biblical critics who say the rod is out of vogue. There's more popular ideas about discipline, and our culture provides that. But our problem is the problem that was addressed in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. It warns us. This is what it says. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Four questions and I'll wrap it up. First question is, when are captives taken? The answer is during a war. And folks, there is a war going on for our families, and captives are being taken. The integrity and wisdom of God is under question by the world. Parents are being taken captive to non-biblical thinking about child rearing. How are captives being taken? Answer is through hollow and deceptive philosophies. Note that these words, hollow and deceptive, these philosophies, they actually look substantial. They sound solid and stable, and they seem persuasive, but they are hollow and they're deceptive. Question, on what are these hollow and deceptive philosophies based? The answer is there, we read, they are based on human traditions and the ways of the world. They are rooted in whatever is the prevailing notion of the day. Last question is, on what are they not based? These hollow and deceptive philosophies are not based on Christ and His revelation. The Bible is not unclear about the rod of correction. The words are easy to understand. If you haven't been communicating with your child as you should have, if you haven't been using the rod as God has instructed, how do you transition to this methodology in parent-child relationship? I think the first thing is you need to apologize to your child. Apologize for not doing it God's way. And then start communicating with them. And follow God's instructions for communicating and the use of the rod. Because you and your child will reap all the benefits of disciplining God's way. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you that your word is clear. It's understandable. We can look at it, we can read it, we can learn, even though that's not what the world is teaching. That's not what the culture around us is practicing. But Lord, you have a desire for our kids to grow up with a heart who has a heart for you. And that we as parents can help that happen by disciplining your way. that we can communicate with them. We can use the rod appropriately, biblically based, so that our children have a heart to serve and love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of it that we can stand on and base our lives on. In Jesus' name, amen.